Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show on the Caregiver Dave Celebrity Segment. I'm so excited to welcome to the program Caregiver Dave, Nisani Dave, and I guess Noble Dave now, too, right?
You have
two gimmicks now.
Doing a lot of interviews for gas prices going to the moon. Everybody wants to talk about it.
Absolutely, Dave. And we who are our guests today? And a really great film, and really I'm excited to chat about today. Go ahead.
I'm excited, too. Jennifer Cooney and director Tracy Wren for the upcoming Rainbow's End, starring Ed Asner, the great Ed Asner, and Sean Young. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. All right. So let's go with back and forth questions and what you guys can do. Jennifer, Tracy, if I'm asking either of you or Dave's asking, one of you can answer the question. So it's not a big thing. So let's just jump into specifically who got involved in the film first and they can answer with the whole project. Go ahead.
Jennifer.
I got involved in the project back in 2015. Joe Orlandino from Atlas Media Ventures, he's the producer that brought this whole project together. He hired me to write the script. So Tracy got involved a couple years ago, and after having a bunch of drafts hammered out before she came on and we fine-tuned the draft in the final script even further to what it is now.
You know, it's interesting, and then I'll get right to Dave, is the process of Jennifer, once you have that vision in place, finding the right team to make it happen, right? That's not the easiest thing in the world, is it? For any type of business, movie, it doesn't matter, right?
No, but it's the fun part.
Absolutely.
The fun part, bringing all those different visions together and everybody's passions coming to the forefront and watching everything come together. It's wonderful.
So I want to ask what it's all about, but first I want to ask you, you know, what are your backgrounds and how you two got together?
Well, my background is, I started as a writer. I've been a writer for years and years and write a lot of things. And, you know, poetry, short stories, working on a novel, eventually started writing scripts and realized that filmmaking was another way to tell a story. And so I eventually went to film school at USC.
Oh, my alma mater.
Oh, we're fellow Trojans. So, and so this was my third feature. And I'm really glad I had the experience of the first two because this one moved very quickly. There were big people on on the cast. Actually, I had made a short with Ed Asner previously called Autism and Cake, about a grandfather who spends a day with his autistic grandson.
Yes.
Ed really supports Autism Speaks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at the one film thing when Ed was there. I was on the red carpet for the whole Autism Film Festival when it was there right outside of LA. Do you remember that?
I'm not sure I was at that one, but there was another big one in Miami that featured the film. But yeah, so he, when I read the script, I love the script. It's so interesting and has many levels and great dialogue, great characters. And I just thought, wow, I bet Ed could play the main character's father, Gunny. And so, I sent the script to Ed and his daughter Liza, and they liked it a lot. And then I let Joe Orlandino take over from there. And just to say, Ed flew in for one day into Chicago, and he was put up at the Drake Hotel in the President's Suite. So,
wow,
I love that part of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Jennifer, when you first approached Tracy, what were you thinking when you approached Tracy about this project?
Well, that was also through Joe Orlandino. They had met previously at AFM, and Joe said, I have some projects that you might be perfect for. And Tracy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a year later, he contacted her and said, I have something for you. And Tracy read the script and came on board.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yes.
So what is the story about, without giving it away?
Yes, it's about a prominent lesbian couple, who one of whom is a politician and runs completely on the platform of acceptance. Wow. And she and her partner, Jules, adopt a child who has severe behavioral issues. So very quickly, their stance of acceptance gets put in the spotlight while they question, how do you accept the unacceptable? And that's very much the question that we ask throughout the film. And we hope that people take away from it questioning what they deem unacceptable and why.
And Tracy, in the movie, it took place at a certain time period where there was less acceptance. Isn't that correct, Tracy?
Yes, it. I believe it starts in the early 90s, and the condition, the syndrome, a little boy has is XYY, so he has an extra Y chromosome, and it's not hereditary. It's something that happens at conception, and it's just an anomaly, but about 1 in 1,000 guys has it all over the world, and most men never know. So, it was just being studied at that time for the first time, and there were lots of misconceptions. And as the film progresses, the psychiatrist tells them that. She said, actually a lot of research has been done. And so some of the original things they were told about their little boy, who's 4 when he's adopted, turn out to be more or less certainly not fact. But there's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy going on, because they've already labeled their son, and it's hard to escape a label.
Yeah, very, very challenging. You know, I have an autistic grandson. They found out at a very early age. They adopted him because they couldn't get pregnant, but then they got pregnant afterwards. Mm-hmm. And he had Asperger's, and it started out with some scabs on his head, and they looked at them. And I was wondering, does this film go into the child getting older? Because there's so many different issues the older they get. Now, my grandson is in jail because when he was a teenager, he got involved in the wrong crowd and manslaughter, and it can be really devastating.
It's easy to be misunderstood, I think. And that's part of what the journey of the film is that the two parents they gain sympathy for their son. He's about, 22 when the film ends. So he goes through jumps a lot of hurdles, and eventually, not to give a spoiler alert, but he ends up in the military and really finds himself there. And by the time we meet him at the end of the movie, he's not that little boy that they thought he was at the beginning.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And I think also, Jennifer, the difficulty with the parents is the fact that they're having to deal with a challenging of acceptance at the certain time period that they're dealing with. And now they have the other challenge, right? To be accepted as a lesbian couple, but now with an adopted child, but then have issues with that adopted child. That adds an even more challenging component, right, Jennifer?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they were the perfect mirrors for each other, because back in the late 90s, early 2000s, it certainly wasn't completely acceptable to be a lesbian couple, let alone a lesbian couple adopting a child. So it's kind of like the evolution of their journey as lesbians in the spotlight, and Beau's journey of having this label and watching the evolution of that. They just very perfectly mirror each other throughout the 15 years that the film takes place in.
Yeah. Was this all done during the pandemic, during COVID?
Just before. We just missed it. So that
was lucky you.
Oh, thank goodness. Because we were at least 50 people on set every day. And we shot for 18 days solid with a couple of breaks in between, and, you know, in really close quarters. So it would have been
film. All that was left was the editing during COVID. Wow. Yeah,
absolutely. Which took a long time, but
sure, always does.
Uh-huh. I mean, one thing about the parents is the two women are on an extremely steep learning curve as parents. Even if their child had been a perfect little angel, I mean, you know, Neil, you have children. It's parenting is hard, no matter how perfect your children are. So. Mm.
My kids are definitely not perfect, and it ends up being two teachers' kids, because I'm a former teacher, my wife's a former teacher. That's always the challenge, that how we control our classrooms, not how we control our home. You know, it can't be done that way.
And time is 100 for special needs.
Right. So, you know, it really, and experienced parents do better with a special needs child. at least at the beginning, but it probably rarely happens that way, you know.
And it drains them so much, regardless of what kind of couple, right, Jennifer, that the draining of special needs really can drain a family in so many ways, because the acceptance outside the home and understanding the challenges and the draining of the, you're trying to keep a relationship going, yet you're dealing with so many more challenges. I wish that there was more out there to really be a resource for families with special needs kids.
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the interesting things to watch is the evolution of their relationship with each other in response to Bo's behavior in their life, because you can watch as the years jump, they're still the same person, but you can watch them getting more and more tired and exhausted and hitting their breaking points. And it really, it drives their growth. And that's really what the film is all about.
Yeah, that was my next question, because I'm a caregiver. And so I naturally was drawn to this thinking, okay, well, what message are we going to send other caregivers, you know, how they can not get burned out and get some self-care and take care of themselves, et cetera. And I guess that message is in there too.
Yeah, well, you said it, self-care. That's really, you got to fill your cup first. That's the only way to overflow to others, right?
Good for you.
And then one thing, Dave, is we always think about caregiving as and the pandemic's changed that tremendously. We think about caregiving as caring for an elderly person, but not, or someone who was in an accident or certain things like that, but we're missing a component even in the conversations of caregiving or how people answer it when it's caring for children, especially with children with special needs. And I mean, I think that's what makes you happy about the film as well, Tracy, is to be able to really shed light for this as well.
Well, right at the beginning of the film, on the day that they're going to pick up their little child, one of the patrons of the cafe looks at Hannah and just says, wow, I just cannot see her as a parent. You know, so it's even their friends know that and are surprised that they're taking this on. Like, why? They don't need to. It's just something, it's their inner need, I think, because as a lesbian couple, they felt ostracized in some way, and they feel that this little boy is like them in that same way. And I think part of their challenge is to stay together. You know, in many buddy movies, one of the goals of every buddy movie is that the buddies stay together, and you wonder if they will through all of their adventures. So this is like a buddy movie in that way. And that's part of the struggle. Like, how much of a toll will it take on their relationship?
And what choice do they have? I mean, are they really willing to watch this little child who they probably have bonded with and have grown close to and love very much, let it go, wonder who's going to take care of him? I know what he needs. I know, you know, how to deal with him. I have the patience already for it. You just can't do it. And you never know what you're going to do until you're in that position yourself.
What I also love about the two characters, the parents, is that Jules is a little more empathetic right from the beginning, and she's more into, you know, let's do this in a natural way. She's very hesitant about medication and so on. And Hannah's more like, let's just get the job done. whatever it takes, let's go for
drugs.
It.
Isn't it always funny, Tracy, opposites always attract, and instead of similar people in so many ways. And that's so true. Now, Jennifer, how's the feedback been so far for the film?
I have been delighted with the feedback so far. You know, it's really wonderful to hear people appreciate that it's not about lesbians coming out or dealing with coming out. It's about lesbians living their life and adopting a child. And you know, hearing everyone's reactions to the characters, you know, watching them be different in how they navigate that.
Right.
And people are having a really strong response to Sean Young's character and the comedy that we get out of that. Really strong reactions to the end and how much it's affecting them emotionally. And it's just been really wonderful getting this kind of feedback from people.
Yeah, wow.
And all, you know, when you... Well, in this, my third feature, you know, you wonder, are people going to pick up the little details? Is anyone going to see this but me? But they're getting it. I think every small detail that we had to work for, even if it was a new camera setup, it's paying off now, you know.
Time. Yeah.
It's a great message, because I believe everyone is eventually going to either become a caregiver or need a caregiver. And this is a great practice session. People will have this in their memories. Oh my gosh, what would I do if that happened to me? You know, maybe not with an special needs, but maybe with an elderly parent and so on. So good for you. I think it'll be embraced by the caregiving community, which is a third of the population, by the way.
Thank you, Dave. And also, I just want to point out that children without any quote special needs can still be very difficult, challenging children.
Yes.
Challenging.
Every parent will say amen.
Yeah, it's all kids go through, you know,
terrible twos. That's enough to pull your hair out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trouble at school or trouble with the law.
Yes.
Anyone, teenagers, you know, can, when the hormones are shooting off and all this stuff, anything can happen, really. So
yes,
I
have three daughters. I know,
especially the pandemic, because the pandemic brings this different atmosphere for our young ones, especially our teenagers, and how they've been stuck and not been able to socialize like they normally do. Even though they do mostly socialize on their phones, the difference is that they feel like isolated in so many ways, especially the ones that aren't able to go to school. So that's another great point that you made, Tracy, that parents are dealing with a lot right now, more than a lot ever.
Yeah.
And it's just, and some people are dealing with it one way by just not ignoring really what's happening in our environment right now with COVID, while other parents are following the guidelines, doing what they need to do, but yet are suffering so much mentally. So that's the too bad factor, that there's just a direct polar opposite that some parents are dealing with versus others. But again, we're doing it to keep people safe. You know, we don't want this virus to continue to spread. So Dave's final question is a caregiving question. And Dave, I never in all the time I've worked with you, and this is about 3 years, thought I have another angle that you really need to focus on, especially with this pandemic. And that's parents and their caregiving that they've had to deal with, like especially moms out there that have to stay home with their kids, and how their mental health has just gone.
Yeah.
Just such a challenge that they never get to go to work. We want to get back to some semblance of normal, even if they're offering the ability to work from remote. That's not always the option that people want. I think they want to get back to offices. Let's hope so.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Dave, with that caregiving question.
Yeah. You know, I've interviewed at least 150 celebrities, and every single one of them, almost every single one of them, had an amazing caregiver story. I like to get personal stories. Jennifer and Tracy, how has caregiving touched your life? I mean, are you living it? Has it happened yet? Because if not, it will.
Well, my parents are in their 80s, and they live about 80 miles away. And thankfully, they've had the vaccination now. But I was really, really worried about them until then. But they're actually doing great. They're definitely young at heart, and they're, you know, they're together. And my mom rides her bicycle still, and they get out and do a lot. But I do have, I have children as well, and I have a son who's home from college and has been home for a year. In fact, he came back from Pittsburgh on spring break. And it came on March 7th, and by that Friday, the everything had shut down, and so we canceled his ticket for Saturday. I don't know. Whenever I meet babies on the street, I always step back and pull my mask off and smile so badly that babies don't know we're humans, that we're real people behind these masks. And I read an article in the New York Times about how many, many mothers feel like failures right now because they don't
know what
to do for their kids. And I feel that too. Like, you know, my son's doing some online classes, but he really has only two people that he sees on a, you know, weekly basis.
Yeah.
it's just not enough.
Yeah.
Socialization is such an important part of life. And this, go ahead.
I mean, think about meeting a significant other, you know, falling in love. How many people did you have to meet before that happened? So if you're not meeting anyone, that's a whole year gone.
Yeah, I bet romance is suffering this whole last year. Fewer marriages, hopefully fewer divorces. I don't know.
I think that's going to be more.
It could be. I forgot to mention my personal story. I've been married 45 years to my wife, beautiful wife. And halfway through, she had a headache for 3 days, found out it was a stroke. She lost her speech, became paralyzed on one side. And after, about a 2.5 year grieving period, we kind of reinvented ourselves. And now my ministry is out there to caregivers. 30% of them actually die before their loved ones do, just from the stress. And so my wife has become amazing. I mean, she still can't talk, but she can communicate nonverbally through Pictionary, charades, two games I hate, and she has a power chair. So we get around, we travel a lot. So Jennifer, what's you have a story?
I do. Caregiving is very much the fabric of who I am since I was young. My brother also has Asperger's. He's 2 years younger than me. He didn't speak until he was two, and it was, no one knew how to identify what was going on with him at that time. It was just, maybe he has motor skill problems. Maybe it's that. It just wasn't a common diagnosis. And when I was 16, my grandfather died, and he was just the patriarch of our family. He was adored by everyone, and everyone kind of fell apart. And I moved in with my grandmother and took care of her. So for a year, and it really changed who I am in a really positive way. It just made me have a respect for life and a respect for grief and what people go through. Sure. And she's still alive today and, you know, doing well. And it just made us so much closer. And I really treasure every moment I have with her. It just changed who I was.
Well, I'm always looking for guests on my Caregiver Dave radio show, syndicated in all 50 states and 135 countries. Remember me if a caregiver either can help other caregivers or actually needs to go to caregiverdave.com and get rejuvenated.
I think, Dave, you got to rejuvenate moms now with what they've dealt with. I think that I don't know why that's not, I've heard that mission a little bit before, but you're focusing on an area that there's a lot of services, but when you talk about helping moms through this or parents through this, especially with special needs, you could really touch a lot of people's lives, especially. And, you know, especially the autism community, just to give you a little bit of a heads up, Jennifer, I was a former teacher myself, and I taught, and I'm an educational advocate, still do it. I represent families at IEP meetings whenever they need help with what's happening with the school districts. So, and parents need to know that, and it's really a powerful thing, and to help them even in that process and get in front of that in those meetings. But those meetings are a lot different now with the virtual world. Cannot wait till you get back into a boardroom. You're not as intimidating. You walk in with a suit, you know, on going into a physical place than being online. So we got to get back to normal. Let's hope. But that's why, you know, a lot of parents that have suffered and are you following the guidelines, let's hope that everyone could, so we can get back to normal. So best place wise, we can check out the film and stuff. Jennifer Tracy, where can we go?
It's the Lesflix website. I guess lesflix.com, and you will see Rainbow's in there. And in fact, it's our official release is International Women's Day, which is Monday, March 8th.
Perfect timing. Okay, so perfect timing to do this interview, because we'll release it on Monday. That's great. That's awesome. Yes,
and we're having a live watch party and also a live Q&A with the cast, including Ed Asner and Sean Young, Christian Stolte, Melanie Chandra, and two leads, Janelle Snow and Amanda Powell. Tracy and I will be there, and our producer, Joe, followed right after that, March 8th.
That's less as in French, L-E-S. Yes.
Correct. Less as in lesbian. Less switch.
Oh, yes. See, that's Dave in his age. I got it. This is really interesting. And it's like, come on, Dave, over your head. And he doesn't mean it. He's just,
I thought they were talking French.
No, you can utilize that in two different ways, Dave. But no, Dave, all way over his head. But okay. Well, I appreciate you guys stopping by. And again, great, great great content, great information, and really like the fact that we could really talk caregiving, talk about special needs, and also talk about inclusion and how we can include others and diversity and all those things. So it's a great story, and I hope everything goes well with the film once it releases. So thanks.
Thank you so much. And thank you too, Dave.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. All right, take care. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Bye. That was Caregiver Dave's Celebrity Segment. Take care, guys.